What's my personal responsibility as a traveler?
To sanitize.
Right. So I'm not, am I going to leave it up to the transport board or to anybody else to try to protect me? Or
no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, right, if you have 28 seats in the bus, you allow one person to fill the void of where our two passengers would be sitting before.
Yes.
What I'm saying is, yes, it's my job to sanitize. But what I'm saying, instead of a bus traveling from Oystens to Spicestone, with that, but probably about 14 per person, whatever the case may be, to me, you know, there's a lot of diesel being used. If that is the case, why not let persons sanitize? In other words, you set up a station, or whatever the case may be, a person comes in, you can sanitize, you wear your mask, be fit the way it's supposed to be worn, and you sit next to me, because reality is, if I get out a seat and you come and sit in the same seat, touch everything they just touch, what's the difference between a person sitting next to me that just sanitized and has on a mask? It's like the same concept if you go into the supermarket, it passes you, it bunks you. You know what I mean? It's basically the same thing. I would not advise you let a person, again, stand up over me.
Somehow, I think a lot depends upon the mutation of the virus as well, because depending upon what you're dealing with, this proximity can become less or more important. You don't forget that coming out of the discussion about the UK variant, there was a suggestion that masks needed to be strengthened. So that needs to be taken seriously when you're talking about bringing people closer together as well. I mean, because people are traveling in a bus doesn't necessarily mean that they will not necessarily speak about something. Even if they didn't want to talk to each other, something can happen that can cause it. So I think you still need to be careful, and you got to take serious advice on that aspect.
I agree 101%. But what I'm saying is, then that's as a kid, then you have to do something whereas these persons aren't left every morning, because from Oystens, right, station to the bottom of Turnberry Hill, there's actually two bus stops there. So therefore, when a bus leaves Oystens with 14 persons, by the time it gets to the third bus stop, the second bus stop after leaving Oystens, everybody's just being zoomed past. And therefore, when the 7:30 bus miss a person, it means the next bus is probably 8 o'clock, and there's no way, again, you can get the 8 o'clock bus and get work for 8 o'clock. Right? So, I mean, I'm just saying, again, they will have to put things in place if persons are allowed to go back to work. I'm not saying necessarily to, yes, fully bus or yes, maybe just put in something out there. The next thing is, I would like to urge, you know, my people, and they say people mean, you know, Bajans, whereas, as opposed to being ignorant of the true meaning of the word, there's so much different things on websites, whereas, you know, a person's out there telling you, take a vaccine, don't take a vaccine. To me, just go and read, answer the questions, and then be satisfied, as opposed to be, you know, you're following each other with a sheep, or if the person engage you in a conversation, you can't respond. You hear a lot of persons going about speaking this way and the next way, and reality is when you engage them, they can't go no further rather than, oh, somebody tell me so. You know, and to me, it's kind of ridiculous in a sense for persons out there not to be educated to some point where, I mean, the information is at your fingertips.
But, you know, we're different people. Take all tips to make this world go around, so you got to live with some of that. All right. Thank you very much for calling.
Enjoy.
Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, welcome.
This is the first time I call, and I was calling, trying to get you for 25 years. And at least I know
it's a long time.
I'm so thankful. To the youngster that called and said he can't get a job, the only body that ever start on top is a grave digger. Hello?
I'm listening to you.
Yeah, it's a grave digger. No, I work at Barbados Foundry in White Park Road. I guess you may know about it. And when it closed down, I went, and the money they pay me with, I went and buy a Suzuki van. And I went at the lumber company and drop home cement for people. Went to the supermarket, drop home. I do drops everything for everything you want. The next thing I did was print cards. and put them in everybody's showcase as a contractor. And the first thing I called, somebody called and said, hello, you cut them trees? I said, sure. And I checked the papers and see a tree trimming. I went and get that fella, and he cut that tree, and he give me some of the money. He said, you do toilets? You? I said, yes. He said, well, my toilet here block. And I went and get a plumber, and he do it, and he give me some of the money. Until then, after that, I went to the cement plant and worked in 1981. And then after the cement plant finished, I asked for a job. And they wouldn't give me a job because they said, you have to work on the Sabbath. And I said, no way. So I went and started my own business with people calling. And then the first person that called was Shipping and Trading and asked me if I would work with them. And they give me all the work that they had about. There's no Massey, but it was Shipping and Trading at the time. And I opened a business and employed 4 people. Then I went to 5. And then the jobs was coming in, flourishing. Until after, I went and signed up for VAT. And after that, the problem come because they start charging me for late payments, interest this and interest the next thing and all sorts of things. I went also and signed up for National Insurance. And I got cut with the glass that I was working across my thumb, and after time it comes straight. And I went in there at the National Insurance. And they told me that, listen, we do not pay for unemployment, nor we don't pay for injuries to self-employed people. The only thing we pay for is sickness benefit and maternity benefit and death. So I said, well, I am planning to date, no, I am planning to get pregnant.
You have said all of this to say what? I said all that to say
that you remember some years ago at the hospital that they had so many doctors and everybody wanted to work at the hospital and the hospital was not able to do. The problem is that everybody these days seek to go in the same thing. They had so many lawyers, they had so many doctors. Even in agriculture, everybody plant the same thing, and then they got a glut. In this COVID, people start and do keeping chickens. Everybody keep chickens, and then everybody can't get the egg cell.
You all forgot, though, the way that you are talking. You forget that there was a time in this country when it was said that there was to be a university graduate coming from every home.
Yes, right. That's right.
When that was questioned, the response was that if a person can't find a job in Barbados, they could find a job outside.
Correct.
And if they can't find a job in their discipline of choice, then the degree should put them in a position where they could find a job in another area because they had been exposed to a certain rigor, intellectual rigor. That would put them in a position where anyone interviewing them, looking at their CV, would be able to see, you know what, this person has been through a course of study that equips them not necessarily to work in one area, but several other areas. So that's what the argument was back then.
Okay.
Is it less valid today, in your judgment?
You see, our country is very small. You remember in the 90s, and then after then, the only telecommunication that you had was cable and wireless. And then all the others come in, all the other providers come in, and some of them clear after because they say the market is too small. So the same thing with everything we do in jobs and everything, unless you don't go and reach out or change your profession to go into something else, individually, you're going to run yourself in trouble. True or false?
No.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the truth of the matter is that for some people, it is not as simple as that. You have some areas where I've heard people talk about manpower planning and that sort of thing for years. There are those who are going to come back to this and say, well, part of the problem is that we haven't done enough of that type of planning, that the university is training too many people in one area where there may be an abundance of skills already. It's not an easy situation that can be addressed just in this kind of manner. There's got to be planning associated with it. And even then, you're still going to have people who are going to end up in areas that would not have been their areas of choice. That's basically how it is. But there are a lot of people out there, you know, who have gone against the odds. We talk sometimes as though, you know how many people have done what you did? There was another man there earlier who said he started as a porter. People who decide that, you know, I can't get exactly what I want, but I have to start off in a completely different area. And I think it is really important for young people to look at the things that are available on the ground. There are jobs that Barbadians tend to look down at that other people, if they were to come in here, they would take them up. But I think that's a function of development, in all fairness. Once people's basic needs are taken care of, they tend to look towards the higher level needs. And that is something that we need to be able to recognize and to work with people in trying to exploit the available opportunities. We talk about those who are unemployed, but it would be something else if you listen to those who are underemployed. The people, this guy that we spoke to earlier, would be in that category. He would feel as though what he's getting for what he is capable of doing is far less than he is supposed to get. It's not easy. And in all of this, you also have to look at employment practices, HR practices, the degree to which people are exploited in an environment where employers say, well, you can't do any better, so you got to do as I say. And there's that inhumane approach to people. All of that needs to be watched. That's why the comments which were made recently by the Labour Minister are important comments. I mean, it's good to hear him speaking on such a wide range of issues, but the frequency with which we have to engage on this type of dialogue is important. We need to do so on a frequent basis. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello? It's 1:50.
Hello. Hi, Mr. Ellis.
Hi.
Yes, how are you?
I'm okay.
All right, I too would like to offer you congratulations on your retirement and hope that you will be able to enjoy it. Because I am a firm believer too in that I come in able-bodied and I was coming out able-bodied. But Mr. Ellis, I didn't like the way the program was structured when they did the tribute steel, because they didn't let in any callers. So I would suggest that you could make a provision for the callers to get a chance to say something as against just having to hustle it among what the contribution they would be making. Now, Ms. Ellis, a few weeks ago, there was about 8 businesses that put an ad in the paper that they would be holding prices steady during this other lockdown. And lo and behold, that come up over the weekend, and the very next Monday, gas went up by 8 cents. Now, lo and behold, now again, Mr. Ellis, gas gone up by 18 cents, Mr. Ellis. Retailing now starting at like 3.51. Mr. Ellis, this is 3 years now that the government have been charging 40 cents per liter for road tax. And from the beginning, we objected to it because we said it was going to work out to 3 to 4 times as much. Right now, for me, it is about 4 times as much. I don't know about anybody else, but about 4 times as much as what we're paying. So I am calling out on government, seeing that it gone all up to 350, and they had 3 years of getting this extra road tax, that they can reduce it down to 20 cents, Mr. Ellis. I think that that is only fair, because we were saying that it should have started there in the first place. And seeing that it is way over what we used to pay before, I believe that this is a good call, and this is a good time now to reduce it down to 20 cents.
All right, well, I leave you to the Minister of Finance. That's not for me to answer.
But what is your take on it?
Take on it is as a suggestion. All suggestions are welcome. What more you want from me?
Thank God, you know that there wasn't always welcome. You know, you accused me of wanting to run the station, so I'm glad now that all...
You can't come to me with that. You couldn't come to me with it before. So, you know, you can't come to me with it now at all.
No, that was never my intention. You know, I told you already as a schoolboy.
I am glad to keep you on this kind of track from here on.
I
want you to be on this track here from now on. So when you come to me, you're not going to come to me with no suggestions on how to run the station. You're going to talk to me about the issues of the day.
I always have come about the issues of the day and my suggestions on it. I never tell you how to do it. But I know from a schoolboy, you're obviously to drop in suggestions in boxes. And I will continue to do it.
I hear you. Good to hear you, though. Where's your friend, Alvin? I haven't seen or heard him for such a long time.
Well, now that you're retired, we could probably get him some more drinks.
COVID.
You know COVID in our thing. You know COVID is an important thing.
So what that means, that it's still here? Is community spread?
But we can soon beat that again. I told you that. By summertime, we can got it from about here, and here can be sold as COVID-free again. I told you that. I am certain on it.
This is the first time that I've heard you give a vote of confidence in the Bill Motley administration.
No, you got it wrong.
That's my interpretation.
You got it wrong. Here was sold as COVID free, and then they come and contaminate it again. So you can't get enough vote of confidence for contaminating it. You know, here the other day, praises the singing, how good the harlot, the people start dropping down like flies. You remember that?
Well, the only point I'm making to you is that if you anticipate that we will soon be out of it, you would have to attribute that to the policies pursued by the administration.
No,
and therefore, you are giving them a vote of confidence in being able to take us out of it.
No, I'm giving it down to the resilience of the Beijing people. It is them that contaminated in the first place, and then recontaminate it again, so they can't get no vote or nothing. Any vote they get, got to be a vote out.
Well, I am so happy that I asked for the explanation, because I would hate to be accused of misinterpreting what you had said. Thank you very much.
You do it all the time. That is not the first time.
Okay, well, at least I got an opportunity to clarify. Okay? Let's take the last call. Down to brass tacks.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
There was a fella on, I came in late, and he was talking about the bus system. It is so bad, especially in Oystens. You get the ABC, and then you get Spike Stone. And then the bus can take in the morning, about 15. And you got to stay there, actually, till 7 o'clock before you could get about three buses before you can get another Spike Stone bus. And that's ridiculous, because the bus only carrying 15 people. And sometimes it got in and ain't got no sanitizer at all to sanitize your hand.
Well, you take your sanitizer, please. Take your own sanitizer. Don't depend on the bus to do that. But let me say something to you. It would be interesting for all the discussion that there has been about reopening business and that sort of thing. It would be interesting to hear from the business people just what impact the transport system has had on this reopening of business. And I can tell you that there are scenarios in Barbados where industry and stuff has been opened up, and we are encouraged to do this and do that. And you know, very little provision has been made for transportation and that sort of thing for people. You know, how many people having work at the end of the day, or especially at night, having difficulty trying to get from point A to point B? And you know what complicates it? In the past, the people in the organizations would have been able to say, look, let's get somebody to come and take this group of people home and get a ZR or something. So financial situation too tight. So a lot of things have happened here in the haste to beat COVID. We are sometimes doing things without adequate examination of the full implications. And those people who, well, in the interest of the economy and in the interest of business, they look, you got to reopen. They still need to tell us, so how does COVID still impact on your ability to do business, even though you are reopened? Okay? Well, that's it for today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Thank you all very much for participating in this program as callers and as listeners. And I want to thank John Stout, the technical operator and producer, for assisting me today. I'm David Ellis. Do have a great afternoon.